Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show. Oh my gosh, today's program is so packed. We're just going to get rolling. Just to remind everyone, however, that you can get this however you're listening. If you're listening by way of podcast, you need no further instruction. If you're listening some other way, just know that you can get it on a podcast by going to your smartphone. If you have one, click on the podcast button, type in The Robin Walters Show, or alternatively on Rumble. In the search bar, Robin Walters Show, all one word without the word the in the front. You'll get it and be blessed by it. Pass it on. Okay, let's roll. This is today's topic is something I can't say I've wanted to do. I have felt compelled to do for a long time, and I think today is the day that I have to address it. I will give you a bit of a warning. It is rough in a sense. It's going to be what some people don't want to hear. But either don't listen to any of it or listen to all of it, because I'm going to lay out facts, hardcore facts first, with which no one who's honest can disagree. But then we're going to apply two areas of Scripture. And you may disagree with the conclusion, but the conclusion is going to blow you away, I think, as a way to resolve some of the issues just from a legal standpoint, from a law enforcement standpoint, as it deals with such things as the Buffalo shooter and alleged hate crimes. I'll say alleged, not because he wasn't filled with hate, but you'll hear more about this in a minute. But I got to start with the facts. So don't run away from this. Either believe all of what I say or none of it. Otherwise, you won't like me. But that's not my concern. I have to share what God has directed me to share. And we are going to launch with some FBI stats. Okay? I'm going to start with just telling you, I am so sick and tired of the racism discussions. I really am. I am about ready to hurl. I listened to the new press secretary, Jean-Pierre Lesbian, right? And what, in 30 seconds, she used the word racism about Donald Trump. I don't know how many times, 10 times in a couple of minutes. Do you know, when the left tries to heighten the case against the conservatives, against whites in particular, white supremacy, allegedly, those things, the more they use the word thinking that they're reinforcing the case, the weaker their case becomes. Remember how often the feminists were talking about sexual harassment? Go all the way back to Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. I don't know Clarence Thomas, but I know Anita Hill well. Had her for two or three classes in law school. And the more they say her sexual harassment, the less impact their argument has. The more the left talks about torture at Gitmo, the less impact it has. The more they scream homophobia or racism, the less impact it has. I mean, I don't know who said it, but the phrase familiarity breeds contempt. You get sick of the message to the point that you know they can't be really serious, or they're lying, or they have to take up, because they don't have anything substantive to say, they have to repeat the same buzzwords all the time, only increasing the frequency and the volume. And it does breed contempt. So I'm sort of sick of that. So it's time to come to a conclusion, and actually this last week brought me to that conclusion about what needs to be said. We all know that Democrats are the real racists. I don't need to go into that any further because we've covered that in great detail. But there's some facts that need to be covered here. And I'm going to start with an FBI report. Can we Can we trust the FBI? Well, no, most of the time we can anymore. However, if the FBI is reporting facts that would set aside the media's conclusion about white racism, which is, you know, the FBI is not on the side of conservatives or whites generally, but if they're coming out with statistics that would, if a person took the time and had the intelligence to read it, it doesn't take much intelligence, it just takes a little bit of time and some courage to say what's unpopular, then we're going to know that this must be true. So these facts, you will see that the media has the most racist agenda of anybody out there. And if you only listen to part of this, you may call me a racist, which isn't true. I have a ton of black brothers and sisters in the Lord. They know who I am. They simply know that I'm a white guy who has the guts to tell the truth and the facts. I'm more concerned about pleasing God than pleasing anybody, white, black, or whatever. God's first and everybody else is about sixth, seventh, and eighth. All right? So here's a fact. FBI stat. Blacks comprise 13% of the population. Blacks commit 37% of all violent crime. That's right. Blacks commit almost 300% more violent crime than what their proportion in society reflects. Obviously, whites, which comprise 62% of the population, commit less. This isn't, trust me, I'm not trying to say blacks are bad, whites are good. I'm just reading the facts, so hang with me. Interestingly, they say, well, change the culture. Well, change the culture and you go over to the United Kingdom, and you will find the absolute same statistics. And within those statistics, black on white crime is violent to a point that it's huge compared to violent white on black crime. And you'll say, well, what about the Aubrey brothers? And what about Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and all that? Well, how much do you hear about those situations? Constant, 24/7. The news cycle is months long on that. And why? They have to beat to death. No pun intended. I'm sorry about that expression. They have to beat those relatively few stories of white on black crime because it's all that really exists. They have to make it up in the length and the degree and the intensity by which the mainstream media reports. And are those horrible crimes? Well, yeah, they are. But they're relatively few in number than the reverse. So the black on white crime, the beatings, the murders, it's dealt with in a couple of ways. Number one, they'll ignore them. They'll ignore these stories if they possibly can, and they'll do the best. And when they can't ignore it because it's simply too horrid to actually have to cover, like the black guy, what's Emmanuel Amanda, I forgot his last name. The black guy went into the Mall of America 3 years ago, 24 years old. He admitted, I wanted to kill somebody. Wanted to kill somebody who was white. He found a five-year-old white boy and threw him off the third floor of the Mall of America. Miraculously, he recovered. How long was that news story? About 8 minutes. Because it was embarrassing to the left because it was destroying their narrative. And their narrative is that all the racism is on the white side. Zero of the racism is on the black side. Or if there is any, then it's justified, which means it isn't called racism anymore. I mean, I'll get to that in a minute. So if it's black on white crime, they never mention the confusion of the, or conflation, if you will, of the two things that lie behind the explanations, the alleged racism and mental illness. Now, you could make a case that anybody who's really truly racist is also sort of mentally ill, and I think you could make a case out of that. But that's not the way it's played out in the media. And keep in mind, I have to repeat this again here, but I want to make sure you understand that The purpose of this is not to show one race to be better than another, but it is to show how the media distorts things and is so ridiculously wrong, hateful of themselves, lying and deceitful, because they know that the only way they can keep the black populace on the left is to keep them on the plantation. And the way you keep them on the plantation is continuing to throw out these divisive stories about the white racism and black victim, and never, ever a consideration of the reverse, which actually, by way of the news stories, by the way of the FBI crime statistics, is far worse. And I'm going to prove it even further. Ignoring a 3/4-inch stack of articles I have, which I saved, I'm not going to go into them. I don't want to go into them. That shows where black-on-white crime has been totally buried. Horrific crimes, because it doesn't fit the narrative. We're just going to pound the drum on the Trayvon Martin, on the Michael Brown, on the George Floyd, you name it. Because that's all they got to work with. Right? Right. Thank you for that. Amen. So here's what I started doing. I was intrigued by the fact that the news stories that were coming out, and this goes back 3 or 4 years now, if it was a white assailant, the race is always, always mentioned if the victim is black or the victim is anything other than white. Always mentioned to create the impression that it is undoubtedly racist. But then I was noticing that when there were, without question, non-black victims, the guy's Jewish, Hasidic rabbi in New York, it's Asians on the subway, of which, what, just recently, 6 blacks were charged with beating up and molesting 6 different Asian women. How long did that story last? About 12 minutes, because it's not conducive to the left's narrative to keep blacks on the plantation. Or they don't think blacks are smart enough to handle the truth. Well, some are, and I'm going to get to one of them a little bit down the road here, if I can keep going here. But whenever there is an absence of a description of the perpetrator in these stories that are pretty horrific, where it's fairly obvious that the victim is not black, either by the name, because maybe he's, what, Jack O'Sullivan. Well, okay. Or he's obviously Hispanic, or more frequently Asian or Jewish. I will go onto the internet and I will look up the booking photos, the arraignment photos of the perpetrator. The number of times, the percentages of time that that person who is beating up, mugging, killing the Jew, a white, Asian, what have you, Hispanic, is black, is beyond the 37% revealed in the statistics as a percentage of society. They do not want that out there. That's what my stack is. All the stories that get buried. Not because I want to write a book, because I want to speak the truth. Then the other trick that the media will do is they'll call them youths. To the extent that there's any description, even though they're adults. If they're youths, they can't give the name. If they're adults, then they do give the name, then I look up the booking photo, and then the booking photo, if you tie it in with the names of the victims, can show the photos of those who were arrested, even though they are minors. They just will not give the names. All right, call me a sleuth, Guy Noir, whatever you want. The next thing revealing the incredible racial bias of the media is that the black perpetrator, when identified, when they can't avoid it, like the guy in Minnesota, or the guy that killed Ryan, what's his name, the 12-year-old kid down in Florida, just beat the crap out of him and killed him. Maybe it's what's-his-face, Daryl Brooks in Waukesha. What is the explanation? For some reason, the black person is always suffering from mental illness. The white perp is always suffering from racism. It's implied and sometimes it's stated. Now, I'm not going to contend that the shooter in Buffalo was not mentally ill, and I'm not going to contend that he wasn't racist. But we're going to get to that in just a minute because of what the media did early on in that story. No, he was sick. but more than anything else, he was a racist. Now, the Buffalo shooter, before any knowledge about what he had written or posted online, before any of that was public, the public was simply concluding that he was racist because he was in a store dominated by blacks, and he's white, and there could only be a racist conclusion. That's the way the story. White man goes into a store, predominantly black neighborhood, and opens fire. Well, Daryl Brooks plowed through 66 people in Waukesha, a black man attending a pride that was simply all white. Don't hear that same thing the other way, do we? No, we don't. But before any of that was public knowledge, they were blasting out those racist implications before we knew anything based simply on that. An interesting fact here, I'm just going to apply something. I don't suggest this as a case. There were several victims that were white. Okay, 13 are shot, 11 are black, 2 are white. That ratio is approximately the black-white ratio of that neighborhood. You could say, though, do I believe he had racist motivations? Absolutely. But only after more was discovered. Not at the time that the media start blasting it out. They only had that one fact. But if he went into a store, randomly shot people, he would randomly hit 11 blacks and 2 whites. That was the approximate racial breakdown of that store in that neighborhood. And why is he shooting any whites at all? Well, I don't know. It just comes to show the subtlety of the disingenuity of the media. So I went on the search engine, DuckDuckGo. I don't use Google anymore, and I just tried something because I was also seeing all of these videos, which you can get from smaller newspapers that are not well read, so the stories don't spread. The mainstream media is not going to pick it up and spread it. Of a black, typically a black youth, hitting, shoving somebody in front of a subway train, hitting some old woman. It's filled with blacks on white and Jewish and Asian crime. Try to find a video of whites beating up blacks. They're not out there. Not very many. Very, very few. And the ratio is overwhelmingly in the wrong direction of what the left would want to admit. Now, what I did is I went on DuckDuckGo. I hope you're staying with me because you're not going to believe the biblical response to this and a conclusion, like I said, no pun intended, is going to blow you away. Go on there and just start typing in, because this will happen with Google, black man beats whatever. And then Google will start to automatically, same with DuckDuckGo will start to fill in all of the stories that comport with that. And you will have one story after another, black man beats sometimes, you know, two youths. Black man beats white woman, black man beats Asian, black youths beat Asian women. There is a ton. You can't search through all of them. Now turn it around, which is what I did. This is investigative. I'm sorry if the truth hurts. White man beats and then see what populates it. I couldn't get one single story on DuckDuckGo to populate that except for one. And the way it populated, it was almost humorous. White man beats, and what they filled it in and changed it to was to black woman beats white racist. It is unbelievable. And the media will not tell you that. And because if I don't tell you that, you won't know, right? The video of all the black kids in the Bronx wearing T-shirts that said kill all whites. Did that make the mainstream media? Does that sound like a hate crime? Or the black guy who punched the lady in New York City near a subway, asked why he did it, said because she was blonde and blue-eyed. And they struggled with whether or not to charge him with a hate crime because hate crimes weren't designed to prosecute racist blacks, only white racists. And the manipulation by the media is ridiculous. Okay, this is not a defense of Peyton Grendon, the killer in Buffalo, by any means. But when Trayvon Martin was killed, what did we see? Did we see him and the 17, 18-year-old shot with a hoodie on, and we knew he got kicked out several times for disrupting schools, smoking pot, the guy was turning into a gangbanger. Did we see that photo? No. We saw his junior high photo, the sweet little Trayvon at 12 years old. Flip it over to Peyton Grendon. Okay, do we see? I looked it up. I said, is there one out there? Yeah, there's a picture of him at about 10 or 11 years old. Sweet little kid, just like Trayvon Martin was sweet at 12 years old, at least from the picture. But we don't see that. We see the picture of him as an adult. It's subtle, but sometimes it's not so subtle. Now, got to keep moving along here. Like I said, this isn't about who's good and who's bad. It's about media bias and the intent and the successful intent to keep the races divided because it serves the purposes of the left. So let's go to some causes here and some fault. I'm going to stick with three because I don't want to spend too much time on this. Why do we have so much violent crime in the black community generally, most against blacks, but a way disproportionate amount against whites? Let's start with LBJ and the Great Society. LBJ destroyed families, white and black, but the impact had a much greater negative impact on black families. At the time that the Great Society plan went into effect in the late 60s, 72% of black youths were raised in two-parent families. What's the number today? It's still 72%. But it's 72% of black youths being raised in single-parent families. No fathers, no role models, no acceptance. Where they're going to find that acceptance? In gangs. They're going to be ready to, they want to feel good about themselves, but they got deadbeat dads. And has that impacted the white community? Absolutely. It doesn't seem to have had the same extent, but no doubt has that. Number two, there's the media. This is a tool of Satan, which we've really already covered, to fuel and inflame the passion and prejudices of people. Now, I want to tell you, God hates, let's get to a scripture verse here, God hates the mainstream media. God hates MSNBC, CNN, ABC, and whatnot. And why? Write it down, Psalm 16:9. Because God hates those who sow discord among the brethren. And that's all this is. The left says if we can divide the people, including Christians, let's do our best to keep black churches black, white churches white. If we can sow discord among the brethren, then we will fulfill what Satan gave to Julius Caesar as a conquering strategy, and that was divide and conquer. Number two. Number three, Biden and the DNC hate Trump so much that they are fine with cities burning, the looting, the killings, the arsons, all unprosecuted. Because to the Dems, well, the George Floyd, frankly, he's not a hero. To the Democrats, George Floyd is nothing but a useful idiot. That's where I was. To them, the mayhem, the black rage, all in the name of civil rights, which was nothing that either Martin Luther King Jr. would support, nor even George Floyd. You see, that went unchecked, unbridled violence, unrestricted, unprosecuted for so long that sadly the violence in the black community, but to some extent white, as we were talking about Antifa, violence is now viewed as an entitlement, and smash and grab is viewed as reparations. So Biden and the media, the DNC, have incubated in 2 years a monster that they can't control, but then have the audacity to somehow blame it all on Donald Trump. Well, there is one common denominator here. Each cause whether you call these false flag astroturfing or as it was originally identified as agents provocateurs, was that these were all tools by the enemy to divide the races, divide the people in a way that they could be manipulated. And all of this has been done by Democrats, 100%. Now let's move along and apply some of these conclusions to the Buffalo shooter. Interesting that while the media immediately screamed and blasted blatant racism, and so did the sheriff and whatnot, and maybe the sheriff was doing that initially because unless he admitted it 12 times over being a white sheriff and blatant horrible racism, maybe he was afraid Buffalo would burn that night. I don't know. But here's the interesting thing that I noticed. They went on this kind of racist tirade, even though he was, they went on the racist tirade without revealing any facts. And in fact, while they were calling it obviously racist, in the very next sentence, all the news media for the first day and a half or 2 days would say that they were busy vetting and trying to verify the accused alleged online posts. So wouldn't you proceed with caution? It's alleged. They haven't verified it. They have admitted it's not verified it, but it never stopped the left from making the accusation. And why? Because the last thing they could do was waste time on this story by not drawing it back somehow to Trump and the Republicans and blah, blah, blah. White racism? Yeah. Fueled and fed by Democrats, fueled and fed by, well, something here that I'm going to cover at the end. I'm ahead of myself here. So the media had to fall back on the simple fact that it was a white guy that went into a black neighborhood. That was their proof that it was unquestionably racist. And, of course, that is what they did. Now, but what did they not do, and what did they not reveal from his posts? That he, white supremacist, yes. Conservative, no. Republican, no. He identified himself as part of the, quote, authoritarian left, end quote. He hated Republicans. He hated Christians. This guy liked Hitler. He was proudly proclaiming himself as part of the authoritarian left. Was Hitler a white supremacist and racist? Without a doubt. No question about it. But was he a conservative? Was he a Republican? Was he Christian? No. He was part of the authoritarian left. This kid, as screwed up as he was, could recognize that Hitler as a hero was not a conservative. Wasn't anything close to it. Now, let's remember, before we go to this break, what I'm proving here is media racial bias. When we come back, we're going to get to the hate crime analysis, which is going to involve the Word of God. Don't go away. We'll be right back with the Robin Walters Show.
The Robin Walters Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walters Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walters Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
Oh, why did you have to leave and go away?
We're back. This is the Robin Walter Show. Okay, so I want to analyze the whole context of hate crimes and why the designation of a hate crime has absolutely zero place in our law. Zero. Zero. No place to ever prosecute somebody for a hate crime. Prosecute them for the crime. The hate is a different matter, which we're going to prove by way of logic, common sense, most of all by scripture. It should not be regarded worse than any other, in the case of the Buffalo shooter, it's not any bit worse than any other premeditated murder. It is not. And there is no place for a hate component enhancement. You will find out at the end of this why that is the case. Should all be treated the same. I have the question, how is a white man killing a black person because he's black more quantifiably worse than, I guess, a black man killing a white man because he's white? But moreover, how is it actually more quantifiably worse than hating and killing any person without a cause, without some reason? I mean, ignoring the racial makeup, if you hate somebody without a cause at all, or if there is a cause, let's try this on. Let's suppose you were cheated on by somebody, and you went out and you killed them. And it so happened that that person was a different race that cheated you, stole something, and you killed them. But you're a different race. Now, is that other person, is it a hate crime because they happen to be a different race? Let's suppose the other person raped your sister, and the perpetrator and the victim are different races. Is that ever a reasonable cause to premeditate the murder of that other person? No, it is not. But is it explainable? Yes. It doesn't justify it. It's not justifiable in any basis. So if, I just give you a couple better examples. I don't think those are very, very good examples. Let's suppose you are the son of a single mom. You're Hispanic. You've grown up having nothing but white landlords. And those white landlords have financially, and maybe in a couple of cases, physically taken advantage of your mother, who's Hispanic, because you are. Justifiable that you, when this kid grows up and goes out and decides he wants to just kill a bunch of whites, hopefully they're landlords, kills a bunch of whites? No, of course it's not justifiable. But is it explainable? Yeah, I can explain it. But why, when something is explainable like that, is it actually worse than something what's not even explainable at all? Why is it a hate crime? There's a cause, not justifiable, but it's explainable. So why would the hate crime enhancement be appropriate versus the Hispanic guy who goes out and just simply hates all people and kills indiscriminately? Let me just make it even more pointed. You got a brother who at 7 years old is sodomized by a homosexual. Now, he grows up to be homosexual, which is frequently the case, and he's all screwed up. You are so upset at how this queer guy ruined your brother that you go out and kill queer guys. Do you have hate? Yes. Is it justifiable? No. Is a killing justifiable? No. Is the killing explainable? Yes. So why is that more punishable, though unjustifiable but explainable, than one who just kills and goes out and kills without any specific cause, but in a premeditated manner? I just want to go out and kill anybody and everybody I can. There's the common sense. Now, I'm going to apply the common sense application to Scripture, and then ultimately to the Scripture itself. Now, from the Bible, we know that Herod, hated, was jealous of the authority that he heard that Jesus would have. Right? So when the three wise men come into town, they want to know where he is. Well, they find him. But Herod says to the three wise men, and he lies. He said, so when you find this Jesus, let me know so that I can come and worship him also. Well, of course, that's an outright lie. He wants to come and kill Jesus because he fears that he would have competition for the throne. Well, the wise men are dealt with in a dream by God, and they go a different way. They don't ever talk to Herod. Herod gets ticked off, and he issues an edict that says, go to Bethlehem, and in Bethlehem and in the suburbs, I want you to kill every two-year-old Hebrew, two years old and under Jewish boy. Hate crime? Well, I guess you could say it's a hate crime based on three things. Only kill kids that are 2 years old and younger. So it's sort of a hate crime based on age. It's a hate crime based on gender, because you're only killing boys. And it's a hate crime based on ethnicity. Only kill the Hebrew boys. Triple whammy. Triple hate crime. Now let's change the facts a little bit, that Herod changed his mind. He said, I don't want to risk this alleged king of the Jews getting away. Who knows? It might be queen of the Jews. It might be older than two. Maybe he's an imposter. Maybe he's a fake Jew. Here's what we're going to do. Go into Bethlehem and kill everybody regardless of age, everybody regardless of gender, everybody regardless of ethnicity. Is it a hate crime targeting a specific physical attribute or ethnicity? No. It's no longer hate crime status. It's genocide on a small scale. Why would you ever prosecute killing everyone for just general hatred less than you would prosecute somebody for specific targeting? You see, Herod would get off technically a little lighter in that case as opposed to killing everyone. Now, we're going to move to the Bible. That was a Bible story, but this is a Bible command. 1 John chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. You know it. You may want to write it down. 1 John chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. In Matthew 5, we find out that he who hates his brother, and this is without a cause, is a murderer. He's a murderer in spirit. And so would he not be also a murderer in the physical? Of course he would be. Jesus is making the point that the crime of murder is greater than just physical murder. It's also a spiritual murder. Now, does Jesus cite a cause? Does Jesus say that anybody who kills somebody else because they are Jewish or they're because they're Samaritan or something of that sort, it's a worse crime or because it's female or because whatever? No. Jesus does not identify the hate. Hate is hate without a cause. And this can be broken down four ways in Scripture, which interestingly made its way into American law and jurisprudence, but it's fading and fading fast. Homicide is dealt with in four ways. Homicide is just the killing of one man by another. Doesn't mean murder. Homicide means the death of a human by a human. It can be totally and completely accidental, through no fault whatsoever of the individual towards that victim. Next, it could be negligent. The law in the Old Testament makes it very clear there are negligent acts for which the person who is negligent, not accidental in the sense that they had no, they were involved, but there is no negligence. When you have negligence, now they have to pay damages. Next, you have something that's not negligent. It's an intentional. It's intentional. You intend to kill the other person, but it's by cause. There is no what we call in the law malice aforethought. There is no hatred. It's because it's what we call self-defense, an intentional killing without malice aforethought, without cause. Then we get to the intentional acts with malice. This is hatred without a cause. That's all. And Jesus made no distinction based on race, based on gender. The only element was that there needed to be this malice aforethought. So, where do we go from here? I'm going to jump to something. It's not jumping something. It's a little bit of a conclusion. I made this prediction after the Michael Brown matter. And I said that with the distortion of the truth, the hiding of facts, the continuous beating up of whites to feel guilty about anything and everything for whatever they did, but most of all, what they never did, but simultaneously, the exoneration, frankly, of blacks all the time in the media because of the divide and conquer tactics of the enemy, it was going to lead to something. I made this prediction 3 years ago, but before I made it, I said to one of my very closest friends, who's black, I said to him, I won't mention his name, Party X, we'll call him, good friend, dear friend. I said to him, when we were discussing this, I said, you know what this is leading to. And he says, yeah, I do. Well, tell me. He said, this constant white bashing and everything and simultaneous exoneration of every black is going to lead to some white who is knowledgeable about the discrimination in the media feeling badly about things that he has no reason to feel badly about because he hasn't done anything wrong, but he's always at fault and nobody else is ever wrong. It's going to lead, and he said it much more succinctly, but this is what he said, it's going to lead to some unstable white who gets pushed over the top, throw in some mental illness, what have you, you name it. He's going to go off and he's going to uncork on a whole bunch of blacks and it will be a dream come true for the left. That came from a dear black friend. It was what I was thinking. He could not have read my mind more perfectly. And I made that prediction 3 years ago on the air. I should play it, but I'm not going to. That this is what's going to happen. And it'll be the dream come true for the left. It'll justify everything that never existed. So now, to be fair, well, the Buffalo shooter, he did hate blacks. But he also hated Jews. He hated Christians. He was also a mental case. But we're not going to let that get in the way of truth-telling here. But this is where we're going to go from here. All the reasons aside, without any explanation as to cause other than the proof that there was malice aforethought, in other words, this is premeditated murder, the shooter needs to be executed without any regard to whether this is a hate crime or not. He needs to be executed. There doesn't need to be any hate crime attachment. The fact of the matter is, whether there's a hate crime attachment should take it to the place of execution, or without a hate crime attachment, this degree of premeditated murder, he's getting off easy if it's not raised to the point of execution. If the punishment should be the same in either case, then there is no necessity to have a hate crime attachment to the charges. None whatsoever. But before I go to the next scripture that applies an appropriate conclusion to this, I want to shift over to Waukesha and Mr. Daryl, what was his face? Brooks. The black guy who with his car drove erratically through a crowd that was entirely, I think, 100% white in Waukesha, Wisconsin, on Christmas, killing as many as he could, which was six, injuring 60, and among the killing was an 8-year-old boy and a 79-year-old dancing granny, if we want to make this as horrific as possible to show how innocent the victims were. Let's do that. The difference in the treatments here, Daryl Brooks. Yeah. He kills them. He injures these. And what happens? This story does not last for more than a week. This is arguably, in my opinion, actually worse than Peyton Gendron. Why? Because with a car, you can kill a lot more than with a gun. He was weaving through the car, the crowd, mowing him down. Remember the maniacal Muslim that killed all those people in Paris a few years ago? It was not in Paris. It was in France somewhere. I can't remember. 84, because he plowed him down with a vehicle. A gun, you're restrained. You're limited more physically to having to load and reload. He tried to kill as many whites as he possibly could. Fact. But guess what? Was he a racist? Oh, unquestionably. He had this rapper handle, Moth Boy Fly, and his Facebook page was mysteriously and immediately deleted after this because we cannot find out that this guy was racist, even though he praised Hitler. He loved Black Lives Matter. We got enough of that. He called for the violence against white people, the killing them. He gave whites the middle finger on his Facebook thing. But what did the media say right away? Did they call him the racist right away that they called Gendron? No. They said the deadly attack wasn't, this is a quote by the mainstream media, it was caused by a car that drove through the parade. That's right, this maniacal car that just got up, and maybe it was a racist car, but it wasn't a racist man. It was a racist car that killed all these whites. It was swept under the rug because the press did not want this case to go public any more than it did because it did not fit their agenda. But to the extent that they had to cover it, guess how they explained it. Oh, wow, gee, what a surprise. Brooks was, quote, mentally ill, and he hadn't been given the help and resources he needed, end quote. Well, so was Gendron. Ill. Seriously ill. There's no question about it. But the story doesn't play out. Remember, my point here, these stories are essentially the same, but for the media interpretation of this. So what do we do? I mean, consider this fact, that there's only real difference here. There isn't any difference in hate. But no matter the degree of mental illness by Peyton Gendron, he's first and foremost a racist. That's the real problem. And no matter the amount of racism from Daryl Brooks, he's first and foremost mentally ill. You see, if the left can't bury the story, they will need to hype an excuse for the black racism and then hype the racist white racism in that particular case. So how do we deal with this? Well, we go back to the Bible. Is this horrible? Yeah, it surely is horrible. But here's what you do. You go to 2 Samuel 21:9. The story, Joshua made a treaty with the Gibeonites. But Samuel broke the treaty with the Gibeonites. He hated them, and he started to slaughter them and kill them. Then God sent a famine because he slaughtered the Gibeonites. A hate crime? Absolutely. He hated the Gibeonites because of their race. Using today's standards, right? But God sent a famine of 3 years to punish them, to punish the Hebrews. David wants to know what's going on. He seeks God. God tells him that Saul was the cause of the famine because he broke the treaty and killed the Gibeonites. How does this apply? How does this apply to our shooting situation in Buffalo? Simple. Because the way God dealt with it was He took the Gibeonites, the relatives, obviously the survivors, and the punishment was that the survivors were able to kill two of Saul's sons and five of his grandsons. In other words, the survivors got to take it out on the ones who participated or were guilty. The sons probably, no doubt, participated in that execution, because it wasn't just a few years before that Saul did that he killed the Gibeonites. So consider this. So the buffalo shooter, if he were in the same fashion as the Gibeonites, if we selected 10 blacks, family members of the 10 executed, that issued a rifle with a firing squad, kill Peyton Gendron. Go ahead, put it on TV. Five blacks carry out the punishment against Peyton Gendron. Horrible? Well, yeah, it is. But keep in mind that the punishment here for Gendron is not just his death. He gets to be killed, but before he's killed, he is shamed. The ignominy or ignominy, it's pronounced both ways. The public disgrace of being executed by the relatives of those who you executed. The same thing that the Gibeonites did under David. They executed those who participated in the execution of their brethren. And it was just. It was fair. It was right. And the same should happen with Daryl Brooks. See, the point is, it needs to be applied equally. Daryl Brooks should be executed by a firing squad. My opinion, nothing wrong with that at all. By the relatives, all white, the white relatives execute Daryl Brooks. So Daryl Brooks suffers the shame and the humiliation, the ignominy of being executed by those he himself wanted to kill. Just has to be across the board. People say, well, that is horrible. That is terrible. Well, the punishment needs to be executed equally, right? It's the maximum execution for each, death by each. Do you think that on TV would help? Just a kind of a rhetorical question. I think it might. People would see this. They'd see that, my goodness, what happened in Waukesha calls for a punishment that's the same as a punishment in Buffalo. Do you think that one of these racist killers might think twice if the way by which they would be killed would be being executed by those who are the relatives and the family members of those that the shooter executed himself? I think so. And in any event, they would end up killing themselves in every case so that they didn't have to go through that. In which case, of course, we get to skip the trial and all the expense. And that would be a fit and just conclusion. Sound harsh? Well, guess what? If all it did was reduce the number of cases like this, it will have served its purpose. Hate crime, no place in our law, because the hate is in the heart. If it's unjustifiable, it results in the same punishment. And the same punishment being executed, meaning implemented, by those who are the relatives of those against whom the horrific crime was committed. And if done publicly, will, if not bring it to a halt, will certainly slow it down. I have one other thing that I want to share, having nothing to do with anything that I've said. And I just got to get it out there. I want to give you an encouragement. If you have not seen the documentary by Dinesh D'Souza called 2,000 Mules, you have to see it. You absolutely have to see it, because you will see just how corrupt the left is, how corrupt the media is, in addition, of course, to all that I've shared with you today, startling and as horrific as what this is. you will see just how utterly contemptible the left is and how bad the media really is, how much they hate Christianity, actually how much elitist white media despises blacks, that they'd use them as pawns in a shell game to keep themselves in power. And last, on a light note, sent in by John from Michigan. You know, we never had a baby formula shortage until men started getting pregnant. That pretty much wraps up the analysis of the left and the media. Robin Walter encouraging, sit tall in the saddle, America. You remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.